Good morning. Good morning, graduates, wherever you might be. This is something I don't know if we've ever done this before. Titus and I are going to tag team this one. When I get exhausted, I'm going to lean down and he's going to crawl up, tag my hand, come through the ropes. You've seen that in wrestling, haven't you? It's not going to be exactly like that today, but we wanted to share the pulpit this morning just a little bit. I don't know if you noticed some of those songs. Us older folks may not have been quite so familiar with. Those were selections that Titus chose based on the likes of our young people. Excellent songs, good selection, excellent messages. What we've done over the last couple of weeks is ask for your responses to the question, what would you advise these graduates as they're leaving high school and one graduating college? What would you say to them as they go off into the wide, wide world to seek their fortune, so to speak? What advice would you have? And you provided us with some, so I'm going to take a couple of points that have been provided, and Titus is going to take a couple. He's going to wrap it up. So the first point of advice, be careful of your associations. Be careful of your associations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is writing to the church, and they're having a problem. And the problem is that there are some who no longer believe in the resurrection. And the reason some no longer believe in the resurrection is because they've been listening to people who were bad associates. And so in the midst of talking about the resurrection and the reality, the truth of the resurrection, he says this in chapter 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. What's the first thing he says? Don't be deceived. I don't know about you, but when I see that in Scripture, I think, well, there must be something about that would tempt me to be deceived. There's a good possibility to be fooled. And I think it's this. Sometimes you meet people, and they're very interesting people, and you think, yeah, I want to be around those, but you find out later, well, they're really not the best influence on me. You want to be an influence on them, but they might have an influence on you. And you might say to yourself, well, it's not that bad. They're good folks. They're smart. They're talented. They're good looking. Whatever it is about them that attracts you to them, be advised. It's easy to be fooled. And Paul warns the church, don't be fooled. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And then there's a text that I want to use, but I don't want you to think of this as a doctrine of the church or even a doctrine of God necessarily. It's in Hebrews chapter 10 where the writer says this, verse 23 is where we'll start, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This first point is about who we associate with. Be careful of dangerous associations that'll trip you up, and make sure, young people, no matter where you end up in life, find God's people and join yourself to them. I know Helen is going into the Air Force. She's going to wind up down in San Antonio. I thought it was the Navy. I don't know where I got Navy, but I've been to San Antonio. It's beautiful down there in July and August. But the Lord's people are there, and that's what makes any place beautiful is when you can find the Lord's people. And I'll say from experience, when I was in the service, that was the greatest blessing to me, was everywhere I went, I was able to find the Lord's people. And so I encourage each of you, no matter where you go. And I know this probably won't be much of a problem for Matthew, because guess where Matthew's going? He's going to Bear Valley. That's his plan. I think he's going to find the Lord's people at Bear Valley in preaching school and have a wonderful association there. But all of you, I know Jace is going to OSU, isn't that right? That's the plan. What? Oh, it's OC. You might find some Christians at OC. just a little joke there, but I was going to say, yeah, OSU, there's a great church in Stillwater. But wherever you go, wherever you wind up, and if there are no people of God to associate with, start a group on your own. Take the initiative. Get God's people together and always associate yourself with God's people, because evil companions corrupt good morals. Second point, that's the first point. Second point is all about who you marry. And who you marry, there's only one decision in life that I think is more profoundly impacting on you, and that is whether or not you're going to be a member of the Lord's kingdom. The other one is who you marry. Now, don't do this. Don't look like some do and say, if I can just find the right spouse, the right wife, the right husband, if I can just find the right, my life will be set. Yeah, I hear you chuckling. Those of you who know, it doesn't always work out like that. It actually never works out like that. The reason you find a good wife, the reason you find a good husband, is so you'll have somebody to help you get to the end. The end is not the marriage. The end is heaven. And this world is a hard place. And by the grace of God, if you have children, you want to raise those children together in the same faith. It takes everything you've got to raise children in the Lord. And so I encourage each of you, be careful of your associations, as we were talking about earlier, because somebody from those associations is probably who you're going to date. Somebody from those associations is probably who you're going to marry. So be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who you date. It all leads to marriage for most of us. Some stay single, and that's fine too. But if you're going to get married, well, Proverbs is a passage, a couple of passages I go to make us think about this. Proverbs 18:22 says this. Excuse me. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Keep in mind, Solomon's writing to his son the things that his dad, David, taught him. So that's why it's he who finds a wife rather than she who finds a husband. But it works both ways, I'm confident. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Finds a wife. That's a good thing, Solomon says. And when you find a wife, you find favor from the Lord. Then you drop down to verse 19 and it says this. They go together. House and wealth. This is chapter 19, verse 14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. What does prudent mean? We don't use that much anymore. It just means wise. Guys and gals, look for someone who is wise in the ways of the Lord. Look for someone who follows Him even more than they follow you. Look for someone who cares about God even more than they care about you. If you marry someone like that, it will make your life so much easier. When you have children, it will make the raising of those children so much easier. These are two profound things that have been suggested as advice, and I heartily encourage you to take them to heart. Be careful of your associations, because evil companions corrupt good morals, and when you hang out with the saints, your life becomes better, and that's the direction God points us. And when you get married, marry someone who's going to help you and your kids get to heaven. I think those are two great pieces of advice. Thank the church for those, by the way. Titus, you're up, brother.
He said we were going to go for a couple hours, so I'm just joking. Advice from the church, Senior Sunday 2024. First, I'd like to say it's been an honor to get to serve you these last 2 years. I never thought I'd be a youth minister. I didn't know that God would have me serving in this capacity. Through all the hiccups that we've had, there's been a lot of learning on my end, and I just want you to know that I'm grateful for each and every one of you, and I hope and pray nothing but the best for you, as I know the church does as well. So as we start to wrap up this lesson, advice from the church. I got two pieces of advice that I thought were very important and The first one was to avoid temptation. Beware of temptation. The word that we use, temptation, today is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. But there's a biblical definition, connotation to temptation, which is the enticement or desire to act in disobedience to God's will. This idea that you know the right thing to do, not based on what society says, but based on what the Word of God says, and you do what's wrong. And therefore, you fall into the temptation that separates you from God. And temptation specifically is a tool used by Satan to separate God from his followers. Satan does not want to see you all succeed. That's not what he wants. He wants to win. But we already know the end of that story. He's not going to. So do not fall for this tool. I know this is quite small, but we are actually going to read this whole thing. If you'll go to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4, we'll see that Satan tempted Jesus after 40 days of fasting. The first temptation he had is when Jesus was hungry. Satan told him to fulfill his natural desire to feed his hunger. This idea that Jesus had set his time aside, his purpose there was to dedicate himself to God. And by feeding his hunger, by giving in to the temptation of turning those stones into bread, he then is negating his purpose of why he's there, and he's putting himself before God. He's serving himself. And so how does Jesus respond? He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What Jesus is saying, even though he's quoting scripture, he's also saying, the word of God is sufficient for you and I. It's all we need. If we starve to death, but our purpose has been for God, we know where we're going. This is not the end. And so in avoiding temptation, I think it's important that we compare ourselves, compare what Jesus himself went through, because he also was tempted. Second, Satan uses scripture to try to get Jesus to test God. Basically, what we can boil this down to is Satan saying, "Jesus, do you think your faith is enough?" All right? He uses scripture. What does Satan say? He says, oops, wrong page. Says, "He will command his angels concerning you if you throw yourself down." And Jesus answers on their hand. Jesus answers, "Again it is written, you shall not put your Lord, your God, to the test." To me, it's this idea that, again, Satan is asking Jesus, is your faith enough? Do you believe what God has said he's going to do, he's going to do? Or do you have to test it to see if God actually will come through? There will be times that you will doubt your faith. We, as mature Christians, we doubt our faith. And for sure there will be times you doubt your faith. And if you remember that Jesus has faith in God and what he says, then we can too. Jesus could have thrown himself off and the angels would have come and gotten him probably. But Jesus didn't need that type of he didn't need to test God. He didn't need that type of proof to know what God said he was going to do was true. And finally, Satan used material things to tempt Jesus. Material things and power. Satan says in verse 8, "The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." Satan used material things to tempt Jesus, and he used power. He offered him all the kingdoms in the world. And materialism and power are things that we are tempted with as well. These are the things that rule our world today. Jesus links these service and worship to something other than God, right? He links this to idols. These things can become idols, but he also basically is saying, if you're going to worship these things, you're also going to be worshiping me. Fall down and worship me, and I will give you all of these things. Are we willing to worship Satan for the material things in our lives? Do we want to gain power? Sure. Fall down and worship Satan. That's the idea, is that, again, God is all we need. His word is all we need. And so I would ask you to be careful in the temptations that come, because if Satan is willing to tempt the Son of God, he is for sure going to come and tempt us. Please consider 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 14. We'll read it together here. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. We do not stand in our own abilities. We stand on the rock, which is our foundation. We read that in Psalm 61, 2, verse 2. The temptations we face are common to everyone here, and even ones Jesus faced. So remember that you are not alone. Hebrews 2, 18. You can get through this with the proper study of Scripture in your church family. God will allow you to be tempted, but not more than you can handle. So keep your head about you, because if you are being tempted, for sure there is a way out, because God provides one for you. So use your resources. That's Scripture, that's prayer, that's the church, godly friends, your parents. I know the first thing I did when I got out was I put my parents on silent. All right? Your parents are a great resource. Make sure you're using them. All right? Oh. And so be careful of the temptations that will come your way and avoid them. And then the second point, the second piece of advice was take time to be useful. It was kind of a long point, but I brought it down to just this. But take the time to be useful. Let's consider 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. There are two types of workers. We are going to end up being, if we're not already, one of two types of workers. And they're going to be, as a Christian, there are honorable workers, ones that do honorable things, and there are those who do dishonorable things. All right? God is obviously going to use the honorable ones, so who do you think the dishonorable one really serves? Satan. Absolutely. So what is honorable? We read in verse 22, flee the youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. It's this idea that, as Marty was talking about, we're going to be around friends, we're going to be in new situations that, man, that looks good, that looks enticing. Perhaps that's a passion of mine, I've always wanted to do something. It could even be a temptation for you. And we are to look at those, recognize them, and be able to go away from them. Flee, meaning run away. Get away as fast as you can. If a guy's coming at you with a knife, you're not going to be like, ah, this guy, and walk away. You're going to run. Or, well, in Oklahoma, you're going to shoot him probably. But it's this idea. You want to be alert. You want to be ready. Have your ready shoes on. Pursue righteousness. Pursue the things that are good. Be in your scriptures. Always point yourself towards God. These are honorable things, all right? Faith. Your faith is probably one of the most important things you'll have. And as Marty pointed out, picking a faithful wife is going or husband is going to be a really big part of how your life plays out. Do not take your faith for granted. Continually use it. Love one another. Love everyone. Even those who do you wrong, love. But most of all, you see Jesus talking about loving those who are of like mind, right? In humility, serve them. Who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about other disciples. He's talking about those who are coming to the faith. Do we love each other? Do we also love those outside the church. We have to if we're going to win them. That's what we're here for. Peace. It's a hard one, but it's an honorable thing. What is peaceful for you? Not just what's, I have peace now. But how do you strive to gain peace? I can't tell you how to do that. I'm not you. We're all wired just a little bit differently. Sometimes the way to peace is for me to just be quiet and walk away, right? Sometimes peace is, this is the truth and we've got to talk about it, right? Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, the church, people who are like-minded. It's honorable to be associated with the Lord's people. Amen? And the Lord's servant, verse 24 through 25, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome or stirring up controversy, but kind to everyone. Again, kind, we're talking about a love. It's the approach, all right? Whether I know you, whether I don't know you, whether 10 years ago you stole my bike, whether last week you slapped me in the face, I'm called to love you. I can use my judgment. I don't have to be ridiculous about it. I don't have to welcome you into my house and stay the night on the couch if I think you're dangerous, right? But it's this idea, there's a way in which I approach you, in which I serve you, and I love you. It's the way Jesus would. Able to teach. We talked about this a little bit this morning. You know, we learn our basics at home, of course, and in these classes over here. And it's an honor to get to see a lot of you as you're growing up. Something we've done lately is have the youth teach younger kids. Isn't that great to know that we have people who aren't even adults yet in society who have a grasp on the Word of God that they can teach the young people? Isn't that our goal to continually teach? That should be a goal for you as you grow, in my opinion. It's honorable to grow in God's Word and be able to relay that to people. I know Jace has already done some of that with his family. Costa Rica, was it? Yeah, I mean, that's... Oh, good night. I'm remembering the slideshow now. I'm going to cry. Those slideshows are powerful stuff, people. Get ready. But it's this idea that we're continually growing and able to relay what we learn. It does us no good to learn the information and keep it to ourselves. Patiently enduring evil. Understand that things are going to come your way that are going to be difficult. Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, all right? Evil didn't necessarily come his way, but sin was crouching at the door. And when he let his anger, when he let his emotions get the best of him, sin got a hold of him and he murdered his brother. What did God tell him to do? Calm down, be patient, do what I told you to do. Everything will be fine. Be patient when evil comes your way. Trust in the Lord and you will endure it. And then correcting opponents with gentleness. All right, that one can be difficult sometimes because we want people to see what we want them to see, right? The truth is right here. Why do you not understand it? Well, it's because maybe they just aren't there yet. Maybe we got to take steps back. Maybe we got to take a different approach. Maybe we just need to take a little time to pray and go have a burger, right? We have to be gentle with each other. That's not my strongest trait. That's not my strongest trait. It's something I have to work on all the time. And so if you're ever struggling with this one, you just holler at me because I'll keep my phone on for y'all. Those are the honorable things. Logically, if we know what's honorable and it's these things, just take the opposite of these things and you know what's dishonorable. It's supposed to be a short lesson, so I won't turn it into 30 minutes. But just logic, all right? Take these good things, flip them to their opposites, and you know what you ought not be doing. But there's a result if you're doing honorable work in the Lord, if you're being useful. And God may perhaps grant them, verse 25 and 26. God may perhaps grant them, this is those who you are being honorable to, right? This isn't you, this is your opponent. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Basically said, making oneself useful to the kingdom of God results in doing honorable deeds. And Paul implies that doing honorable deeds are not just for the oneself, but for the use of bringing others to God so that they may attain salvation. So I ask you, and I plead with you, to make yourselves useful in the kingdom. You don't have to be a preacher, right? Every single work that is going on is important. All I ask is that you get involved, because you'll never know what will happen to you once you get involved. I started song leading. Now I'm up here preaching. I don't know why on a Sunday morning. I think that was a mistake, maybe. I'm just joking. But you never know how God will use you if you're willing to give yourself over to him fully and love others the way Jesus loved others. So if I may leave you with this from the church, that was the whole point of this lesson, doing it this way. I didn't want to just get up here and tell you what I thought or what Marty thought, but we wanted to send you off knowing that you know that the church loves you. And it's true. We all love you very much. We are here for you always. So don't forget about us. Come back, grace yourselves in this place, and know that you always have a home. You always have a place. You can always call us. But most of all, if we never see you again, please keep your eyes on God. Grow, stay in his word. Please share Jesus. Please. I know that sounds like maybe a crazy thing to plead for, but if you share Jesus, it'll be the most rewarding thing that you ever do. For every 200 no's, you might get one yes, and that's going to be a brother or sister you're going to rejoice with in heaven. It's not a waste of your time. Live honorably. It's harder than you think, so use your resources. Call mom and dad. Call the church. Get in your Bible. Pray. Pray, pray, pray all the time. And again, speak your faith. Don't be afraid of who you are in any situation. I'm not going to do this. Why? Because I have a faith that I'm not going to corrupt. So as we finish here, I just want to again reiterate that I'm honored to have gotten to learn with you and to teach you and to have fun together. And I'm looking forward to If you're coming back, I look forward to having you guys as counselors and junior counselors and all sorts of fun stuff, chaperones, whatever it is you want to be a part of. Remember that just because you're leaving this youth group doesn't mean that you're not still a part of it. You're always welcome here. I love each and every one of you, and the church loves you as well. We didn't have a chance to offer necessarily an invitation, but if you want to be a part of a family that loves you the way that this family loves these kids who are getting ready to leave, then come forward and put Christ on in baptism as we stand and as we sing.